Well, next, government has moved to ban disposable vapes. The plan was brought to cabinet. By Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly. Minister Stephen Donnelly is with us here in studio. Minister, before we talk about the banning of disposable vapes, today's judgment on Apple, the company says in a statement this afternoon, it's disappointed with today's decision. Is the Irish government disappointed?
Well, let's reflect carefully on the judgment. We'll have the full judgment published later today. And the decision obviously is that Ireland provided state aid. I think there are a few important aspects to this. One is that this is to do with an historic opinion given by Revenue in 1991 and 2007. And critically, a lot has happened since then. I think to credit Minister Michael Noonan, Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue, there have been a lot of changes. Minister Michael Noonan, in his time, you remember the so-called double Irish, he shut that down. And then in the lifetime of this government, we've signed up to what Jed was talking about, this pillar two. And essentially what that means is we're moving our corporation tax rates for large companies up to 15% in line with the rest of the EU. I think the government's position, when people look back on it, because people will very understandably ask questions around why would the government have opposed this? And essentially the answer is because a core part of our industrial strategy over the last 50 years, which has worked very well, is foreign direct investment. This is about jobs. Apple employs more than 6,000 people in Cork. And what the government wanted to do was provide certainty, provide stability. We can see with the ongoing inward investment into Ireland, the inward creation of jobs in Ireland, that has worked. We know that we have a surge in corporation taxes over the last number of years, due in part to a very strong foreign direct investment sector. So we'll obviously reflect on the judgment. The Oireachtas will undoubtedly debate how to use that money. There are many options available. And the message that I think the government's position that we would send to the foreign direct investment sector is we have a very stable, very certain industrial policy which has worked well for Ireland, has created thousands of jobs and is working well for those choosing to invest in our country.
In essence, you're saying Ireland was defending jobs, but do we know how much government spent defending this case?
I don't have that figure, but certainly when you look at the scale of the corporation tax receipts coming in, you know, the increase in nurses and doctors and healthcare that I've been able to drive through over the last number of years has been possible partly because we have such a strong foreign direct investment sector.
Okay, so you don't have the figure. Was it worth defending?
I think Ireland needed to send a very strong message internationally, a strong message to the corporations who are here, employing so many people and paying so much taxes, and a strong message to those looking to invest in Ireland, that we stand over the decisions that we made. We are competitive. We need to remain competitive. And at the same time, we are in line with what the EU is doing in terms of global tax policy.
Now, this all means that there's 13 billion more in the government's coffers. There's a budget around the corner. There's an election around the corner too. How would you spend it?
Well, that'll be a matter for government and I think for the Oireachtas to discuss. I'd get in an awful lot of trouble if I started making a pitch for that. Let's remember that this money, it's one-off funding. So it's not for, you know, hiring more doctors or nurses. This is money that you could use for capital projects.
It would be well needed within the health budget.
Oh, look, any government could put that kind of money to very good use. And I think, as David Murphy said earlier on, there are lots of different things. You can look at infrastructure. You can look at the national debt. You can look at some of the infrastructure funds that have been set up over the last 2 years. So I've no doubt the Oireachtas will debate this at length, and obviously in government we'll consider it carefully.
Well, next, you're banning disposable vapes. Why?
We're banning disposable vapes and we're banning flavoured vapes. And really, the ban on flavours and bringing in plain packaging and getting away from the point of sale where, you know, people go into their newsagent or they go into their petrol station and they're almost assaulted by this, you know, very in-your-face advertising for vapes. There are two reasons. The first is a child safety reason. We've already brought in a ban on selling vapes to children, to anyone under the age of 18. This is the next step forward. And disposable vapes has the added benefit, obviously, of being an environmental measure.
Okay, two reasons there. There are 15,000 flavours of vapes. Do these new laws need to ban them all individually, or how does it work?
How it works is you stipulate what is allowed. So we're starting with one flavour, which is tobacco flavour. There are six countries in the EU have bans in on flavours. Most of them either have one, which is tobacco, or two, which is tobacco and menthol. And that list can be amended by secondary legislation by the health minister.
Well, the vaping industry says banning vapes is not the answer, and banning disposables will create a black market for them. How will this be tackled?
Well, you know, you hear these kind of arguments about anything, but, you know, we all see the environmental scourge of these disposable vapes. We see them on the buses. We see them on the streets.
But could it create a black market?
We see them around the bins. Look, adults will still be able to buy vapes. The disposable vapes in the main are used by young people. They're used by children. They are an environmental hazard. Will some people bring them in and choose to sell them? Sure, there are black markets to some extent in all manner of products, but from a health and a child protection and an environmental perspective, it's the right thing to do. And certainly, Minister Oisin Smith did some public engagement earlier on this year, and I think he found that 84% of the public were in favour of banning the disposable vapes.
Well, you hit on it earlier on. Vapes are an obvious threat to children. You're acting on that. But how quickly will you do this? What's the time frame on it?
Well, I've got government agreement this morning to draft the detailed legislation now. We've already brought in the heads of bill. I would expect to have that legislation in hand in the next 6 to 9 months.
Will it be done before the election?
You know, it really depends. If the government runs full term, which is what the three party leaders are categorically stating it will, there is a chance we could have it into the Dáil before the end of March. Let's see.
Are you hopeful it'll be done before the election?
Well, look, I'll certainly be doing everything I can to get it in. There's strong public support. There's strong political support. And it's worth saying that the first Vaping Act, which is now in, there are various parts of that are going to be coming online shortly. So on the 23rd of September, there's going to be a ban on the sale of vapes at events aimed at children. There's going to be advertising prohibitions around films aimed at children, and a ban on advertising on public transport as well. So there's a range of measures, really child protection measures we're bringing in.
Now, you also brought new figures to Cabinet about GP services. You want to bring the current level from 7 GPs per 100,000 people to 10 per 100,000. How do you go about that? How do you do it?
Yeah, what we've done is we've increased the number of GP training places. So they've gone up a lot. They've actually gone up 80% in the lifetime of this government. The number of GPs in the country is growing, but we know that there are still too many towns and villages where people are having to wait too long to see their GP.
And you certainly get that message as you're out and about talking to people, access to GP services. And the IMO would say that there's only been a net increase of 136 new GPs over the past decade, that the GP population is an ageing one, GPs are retiring, the population is increasing. Is what you're proposing enough?
Yeah, and certainly the numbers don't really back up that narrative. The numbers are actually quite positive. I want to fully accept that too many people still can't get to their GP they want to, right?
Sorry, what do you mean the numbers don't back up that narrative?
Because we've increased the number of training places. In Ireland today, for every GP who retires, more than two GPs are entering practice. And so both the number of GPs and the number of GPs per population is growing. So today we're at a little over 7 per 10,000. Based on the increase in training places, the ICGP, the Irish College of General Practitioners, believe we're going to go from 7 to 9 or 10 within the next 5 years. Now that's really important. That brings us up to the level of Scotland, New Zealand, Denmark, who'd be seen as very good internationally. But we're going further than that because the numbers are going to continue to increase because of the extra training places. And so we think that in future years, we'll get to the 9 to 10, but actually we're on our way now to going to 12 per 100,000, and that's the figure that the ICGP say is what we need, and it'll really set us up as a leader in terms of general practice in Europe.